Real people.
Real celebrities.
Real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have a special guest in the building this morning.
That's right.
Mr. Will Packer.
Yo.
Morning,
got,
sir.
Breakfast got Club. A lot of money.
What's cracking?
Looking like money.
Okay.
A lot of success.
Generated about a half a billy for Hollywood.
That's man, right.
Over the past decade.
He has great teeth.
Don't get me robbed outside the studio. I gotta get back. You know what I'm saying?
Is that why you don't like coming to New York?
Nah, you know, New York is... you know what? I don't have a lot of business in New York. First of all, thank you for saying that about my teeth. Man. Yeah,
I appreciate
that. You caught that one.
Well, like, I spent a lot of money on these. Twice a day, kids. Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. King in Atlanta. You know, New York is, I love New York, man. Yeah. It's just, you know what? In my side of the business, you know, I'm producing film and TV, and I'm in Atlanta. I'm in the A, and I'm in Hollywood. You know, my office is in L.A., and I live in Atlanta, and I go back and forth. But I'm up here now because it's like the network up front.
Absolutely.
So this is where, like, all the shows, you know how you look and you say, oh, why they pick up that show? Mm-hmm. Or why they cancel that show?
Yeah.
This is where that's all determined and announced. All the big networks are here, and they're selling their shows to the advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a little behind the scenes of how the business really works. So I'm up here because I got two new shows, one on ABC, one on NBC.
So what up front did you attend, sir?
Both of them,
okay.
ABC
okay.
And
gotta
NBC.
Go to
okay.
I go to all. I got to see what everybody else is doing. I went to Fox. I snuck in CBS. Yeah. I got to see what it is, you know?
So you got two shows coming.
Two shows.
On network
two
television.
Two shows. Yeah, mm-hmm. Man.
You got, I see the one on NBC and ABC.
Yeah.
Well, the one on NBC, NBC is called The People Are Talking.
People Are Talking,
I saw
yeah.
that trailer, by the yeah. way. That yeah. looks hilarious.
Yo, it goes there. It goes there. It's a funny show. It's this white dude, this like really neurotic Jewish white dude. Mm-hmm. His best friend is black.
Mm-hmm.
His wife is like mixed. You don't really know what she is. She's ethnically ambiguous. And the black dude does stand up, and the white dude's an ethics professor. And all they talk about is race and sex and politics. And stuff that, like, everybody else would consider awkward conversations,
right.
Like, they go there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's crazy. Like, in the opening episode, like, they're about to hire this babysitter, but then the babysitter turns out to be hot. So it's like, can we hire her? And then the black dude's like, I think I saw her on Pornhub.
She's
you
a porn star.
Exactly.
What would you do if your babysitter was a porn star? Because then it's weird, like, okay, she's hot, but then you see her holding a baby.
My wife would not let me have a babysitter who's a porn star.
That was the thing, but they need a babysitter so bad. And the wife was like, well, she ain't doing it no more. I mean, is it really bad? And yeah. They was like debating it. You know what I'm saying?
That's funny, because my wife just asked me that the other day. So about this au pair, do you want her to be young or old? I said, old.
You
don't want dirt. I don't want
no problems.
No problems.
You don't want that in the house.
No temptation under my roof.
Well, you know, We disliked you. Me and ye disliked you for a while.
What'd
what?
I do? What happened?
Charlamagne came back and had a big head after being in a movie.
Yeah, Ride Along. In a big movie too.
I started a big movie.
He started
movie.
That.
Well, I don't know that part, we would say star, Charlamagne. I don't know if that's exactly accurate, but we'll go with it. Keep going.
He starred in his, he came back and he's had a big head ever since.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
He says people are recognizing him when he goes out.
It's on his resume.
Like, Charlamagne, do your line from the movie.
I didn't have a line. It was all method acting. It was about the face, the walk, you know, the way I held the folder.
You were
you know
a cop. You're a,
let me
you
tell
were
you
a cop.
If you love his line in Ride Along, wait till you see his line in Ride Along 2. Wait, I'm saying.
And, you know, Envy starred in Power, so you guys
I'm
are both.
I'm Ride Along 2.
Starred.
That's my point.
I was like, damn, he went and got in Ride Along 2 and didn't tell
point.
Us.
At least I had a DJ. See,
he does, he does the same line, but even better.
Now, where do you get the inspiration for these movies?
You know what? It comes from everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. So as a producer, a lot of people don't even know what, like, a movie producer does. So my job is to bring together all the people that actually make the movies. So mm-hmm. I'm like the general manager on a football team, right? So I got to bring in my director. Mm-hmm. I got to bring in my actors. I got to find the financing.
Gotcha.
Now I got to find the writers who will go. So a lot of times I'll have an idea for a movie, mm-hmm. and then I'll go get the right writer to go and actually execute it and put it together.
So you make it sound
along,
so simple. Like, yeah, so I have easy, an idea you know, for a movie. Like I'm going to get someone to write it. Because we all have ideas. Everybody thinks they can produce and direct a movie until...
You know what's crazy, though? You can. And I say that to people. Like, these days, like, there's nothing stopping. You can go take your smartphone, mm-hmm. and you could actually shoot... And you can edit on your laptop or your tablet, and you could actually make a movie.
But people don't have to.
That's right. Your first one's gonna be garbage. Like, that's what. And I tell people who want to get in this game, I'm like, you know what? Just go out and start shooting stuff. Because the first one's going to be hot garbage. The second one's going to be a little less hot garbage. But yeah. Then, you know, you get better and better each time.
A lot of people don't have the drive to really do that.
That's
though.
The truth.
They
see,
say
people
they
are
want
waiting,
to, but
like,
they're not
oh,
going to.
You got millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. You got to make this, you know, $50 million, you know, mm-hmm. ride along type movie. I'm like, nah, make a like 10. thousand or make $100 movie. Just make a movie for nothing, you know, and just see what if people watch it. If it's good.
A lot of people don't know you've been doing it since the '90s.
I've been in it, man.
Yeah.
I've been in it. Yeah, man. I went to FAMU down in Tallahassee, graduated from there. I made my first little movie there, and then I made a movie called Twa. Mm-hmm. That was the first one that went in theaters.
Oh, you made Twa. I actually saw that movie.
You remember that?
Yeah, I did see that movie.
That was the hustle. I made that little movie and literally
what
like
was Twa about?
Like it was like a threesome. They had a couple had a threesome.
You know who was in Twa? Gary Dornan.
Yep. I just saw him.
Gretchen
the other day.
Palmer and Kenya Moore.
Kenya Moore, that's right. That's when she was
Kenya Moore was in Twa. Yep.
Would you put her in anything now?
If it was the right role,
mm-hmm.
you know. I don't work with a lot of reality stars just because there's so many, and that's nothing against them at all, but there's so many like actors that are out there and like getting in the game. And
people
like
with
you know,
actual talent.
Interesting because Lala, you've worked with Lala, and she came up here and said she stopped doing her show because she feels like there's a stigma attached to being a reality star, and it was hard for her to get roles.
A lot of people in the industry view that as what you do and your talent, and mm-hmm. they say, you know what, we'd rather have somebody that can separate themselves. Because as reality, you're known for like playing yourself. As an mm-hmm. actor, you want people who can become other characters.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say they're not talented people out there, but like La is talented. Mm-hmm. But La works hard. Like right. La is somebody that's like taking acting classes mm-hmm. and has a coach.
She's
and
serious.
She's very, very serious about it. So it's not like, you know, the reality thing was something she did. It's not who she is.
Now let me run the resume down for people who may not know. You produced Takers.
I did.
Which was a big movie. True Think Story. Like a Man 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Ride Along, About Last Night, No
yeah.
Good Deed, The Wedding Ringer.
Yeah.
They say you're executive producer straight out of Compton, is that
yeah,
true?
Man, coming out August 14th. Yeah.
How did you go from, you know, just being the guy that did Twa in the 90s or early 2000s to being the go-to guy in Hollywood, it seems like?
Grind, man, that grind, just not stopping. You know, the first like big movie was Stomp the Yard. That was my first one.
Yep.
And it was like, you know, I went to a black college, I was in a fraternity, so I made a movie about something that we knew.
What college?
FAMU, Florida A&M University.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That was the first one that like made Hollywood take note. But to even get to that point was because we made that little movie, Twa, and mm-hmm. we made money outside of Hollywood.
They
you want
come
Hollywood
on BET,
to take notes,
I think that's
make
right.
money without them. You see it on BET?
Yeah, I think
like
it was
2
on BET.
Absolutely. No.
And aren't they doing a Stomp the Yard TV show now or something?
Not with
Some
me.
Some type of series?
Nah, I don't know about that. I don't know.
I wonder what makes you pick your talent, because you put Terrence J in Stomp the Yard
yep.
early. You put him in Think Like a Man
yep.
1 and 2.
Yeah.
Like, what made you see something in Terrence J?
You know what? Terrence is a hustler, man. I tell you a true story with Terrence. Terrence was on 106, mm-hmm. right? And I was doing a table read. That's where you get the whole cast together for the movie. We had, like, basically most of the cast mm-hmm. out in L.A., and I said, yo, T, I have a couple roles that haven't been cast yet. I'm doing a table read in L.A. I know you're shooting in New York. If you can make it and just read this role alongside the actors, you probably not going to get the role, but the studio, the cast, the director, I was honest. Listen, there was little to no chance T was going to get this role, you know? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you know, I had Kevin Hart, I had Taraji, I had Michael Ealy, you know, and he was a newcomer.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see.
So
like
he came in just for the table read. Mm-hmm. And he took off work. Like, Stephen Hill knows the story now, but he, like, lied and said he was sick. Flew to L.A. for this table read, got in the room with the actors, and killed it. Like, while everybody else was just reading the lines, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Terrence had memorized the
script. I heard that. He memorized the whole script.
And was acting it out, and he did so good. Like, he had that little small window of opportunity, and he just ran with it.
Right. Yeah, and that's crazy to memorize that.
The cast director was like, yo, who's that guy that was reading the role of Michael? Who is he? I was like, you know what? We should consider him. And
yes.
he gave me the ammunition I needed. He got that role.
Wow.
Now, true story.
That's interesting. Kevin Hart, too. Like, it's like you two have a chemistry like Dre and Snoop had in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, how did Kev become, like, I guess your muse, so to speak?
Dude, work ethic. Because Kev, like, works so hard and goes so hard, and, like, I'm the same way. Mm-hmm. So we just connect on that level. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, just, like, on some real professional stuff.
Right.
Like, we both are like, yo, let's go get it. Like, I'll never forget the day Ride Along opened. Everybody was like, yo, we opened number one. We made like $40+ million kicking. And me and Kev had to get up like 6 a.m. the next morning to do promo shoots for About Last Night, which was our next movie that was opening.
Yeah.
And we was like, yo, we'll celebrate later. We got to get it.
Right.
Like, we did one. Let's get two. Let's get three. Like, he's always thinking 4 or 5 steps ahead. And with Kev, people don't know it, but Kev was in the game for a minute.
Absolutely.
And was losing.
Was losing. Yeah.
Like, losing. Like,
right.
Oh, yeah, sitcom that failed, Soul Plane. People was like, that's the worst movie ever made. Like, people wrote Kevin Hart off for dead. Like, true story, I went to Hollywood, like, with Think Like a Man. I was like, yo, Kevin Hart, I want to put him in it. He would be great as this central role.
And it was like, no.
It was like, we know Kevin Hart. He's not a star. Like,
yeah.
Oh, he's not a leading man. We're not hiring Kevin Hart. Like, literally, they told me that. And now all those people call me like, yo, you think you'll do this role? You think you'll get charges for tweaking Instagram posts? Absolutely.
Did you know you could be a superstar?
I did. Because the reality is that, and you guys know this, like the streets know it before Hollywood does. Mm-hmm. Hollywood doesn't have their finger on any particular pulse. They're trying, you know, but my job is to connect with real people. Mm-hmm. And real people were feeling Kev way before Hollywood was taking notice. And that's what I brought. And I said, yo, I'm telling you, this guy is building a fan base that is monstrous and will not stop. Now they're aware of it, but he went out there and he made his own. Just like we were talking about making your own movie, he made his own through his whole digital stuff and through his stand-up and, you know, all his movies that was on bootleg. Like, I joke about it, but that got him in, like, a bunch of living rooms. People was watching his stand-up way before Hollywood took note.
You're straight out of Compton.
Yeah, man.
I was filming that movie because, I mean, it seems like there would be so much controversy about that movie and people wanting to be in it and wanting to put their parts and their 2 cents in that movie.
And then people being mad about what you say about them and how they're portrayed in that movie.
Biopics are challenging. I will tell you that because, you know, it's a true life story. But if there was ever a biopic, man, that the timing was right and the story needed to be told, it was this one. Mm-hmm. And I got to give major props to F. Gary Gray, the director, mm-hmm. because, you know, he's from that world. He knows it. Like, that was his life. And this movie had been around a long, long time, and a lot of challenges were in the way of getting it made, and it finally got made. And it's funny because it's, you know, obviously Cube's son plays him, and we were actually shooting Ride Along 2 in, like, Miami and Atlanta, and they were, at the same time, Straight out of Compton was shooting in L.A., and so in between takes, like, Cube would have the tablet out. We got the technology now where we can actually watch what's going on another set. Word. So in between him acting and Ride Along 2, he'd be trying to see what his son was doing. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, yo, Cube, how are you doing this? This must be nerve-wracking. Like, you got the movie about you, first of all. This is your movie, your life, and then your son is playing you in the movie. You want him to do good. You want the movie to be good. Right. You're trying to act in this other big action movie we doing. Like, how are you doing it? And it was just crazy trying to balance all that. But it came together, man. It's good. I got to give props to Gary and Dre and Cube. And, you know, I can't wait for y'all to see that.
You're working with a lot of OGs lately. I see you and LeVar Burton. They say y'all remaking Roots.
Roots, man.
Like
Roots.
The actual movie?
The real.
Coach getting his foot cut off?
Yeah. Hey,
and so,
man,
that's going to play on, like, I read Lifetime, A&E.
And History Channel. Yeah, it's going to be simulcast at the same time. It's going to be really, really big. I got to tell y'all, like, more than anything, I'm proud of everything I'm doing, but this is special to me. It's special because it's such an iconic film, and there's a whole generation out there, they don't know Roots.
Right.
You know, like, some people are like, oh, Roots. It's like you're retelling the story. And I'm like, when you say retelling, that implies that you told it. But there's a whole generation that don't know it. They haven't seen it. Like, all they know, I saw Django, you know, or I saw 12 Years a Slave. This is the ultimate origin story. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it. This is like coming from Africa, kings and queens and warriors, and how you end up from that into how we all sit in the studio today, you know? So it's a hell of an undertaking. I'm proud. We got some dope directors that we're lining up that I'll be able to announce soon. And, yeah, LeVar Burton from the original, you know, he's down with it. But, yeah, that's coming out.
Is this something you brought to them, or they were going to do it and they were trying to find somebody?
They brought it to me, yeah. That's the thing, like how Charlamagne was saying, when you get to kind of be in that position where Hollywood will come to you. So I'm very blessed that I was in a position that came to me. They were doing it, and they came to me to help, you know, bring my flavor.
Now, you tweeted one time, you said, how can we expect youth to behave if they were descended from kings, queens, and noble warriors if they are unaware it's in their DNA? So I always wonder, why does Hollywood keep showing us the slave stories, then? Why not show us when we were kings and queens in noble wars?
Not a lot of stories about that. Not a lot of stories about that. You're absolutely right. That's one of the reasons I want to do this. I mean, I'm going to show the whole journey, and obviously slavery is an important part of it, but this is going to go where it begins. This is going to start, you know, like the original in Africa. And here's the thing about Hollywood. Hollywood is a business. So at the end of the day, if people want to see that and they'll pay to see that, you know, that's what they'll make. You know?
You think it's like, I don't think people will pay to see black people be great.
And not a lot of stories.
They pay to see y'all oppressed.
I think that a lot of the stories that are in a historical context about the black journey, the African-American journey, is you know, based around slavery or civil rights. Mm. And those are important stories. There are a ton of those stories that haven't been told, but a lot of them have. And so this is one that is going to take it from a totally different direction. It's going to the original, like my kids, like they don't want to see the original Roots. You know, it was made a long time ago. It feels like it's an old movie. It feels like it was made in the style of how movies were made. And then they don't move as fast. They're not as interesting and not as exciting.
Right.
I want to do a retelling, and this for this to be that movie, like that definitive origin story. Like I say, you know, that people can go, you can watch it, you know, watch it in schools. I mean, it's going to be entertaining. It's not like a history lesson.
And the foot getting cut off can look even more realistic.
Hey, man, we're going there. We're going era. There.
Yeah. I also heard you remaking The Wiz. Is that true?
That's not me. They're doing it. NBC's doing it. But
I
like that.
Everybody wants to be in that,
too. I ain't doing everything. I'm trying, right? I ain't on everything.
So what motivates you now? Because obviously it's not money.
You know what? It's the grind, man. I here's the thing. When you, and I tell people this all the time, like, if you hustle, you want to work hard, you want to, like, get to a certain level, you got to start now. Like, I don't care if you listen to me right now, you watching this on Revolt, and you in a job that you hate. Do that to the best of your ability. Because it's not when the opportunity pops, all of a sudden you're going to know how to be great, and you're going to know how to hustle, you're going to know how to grind. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you start that wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Like, be the best, you know, janitor, be the best, you know, consultant, telemarketer, whatever it is. Like, that grind, and to answer your question, you don't just turn it off, you know? So I'm driven because I want to make great stories, because I want to hire new actors, you know, because I want to leave a legacy, you know, my kids push me. I just, for me, that's who I am, you know?
Do you feel like more doors are open for people of color now? They've been talking about network television. Obviously, now you have two shows, you know, simultaneously.
And they have been saying. Did Empire really kick those
doors down like that? Empire was a big part of it, man. Yeah, Lee and Taraji and Terrence, all the fam, that was a big, big part of it. The reality is that diversity is business now. It's real business. Like, if you're a network and you're only, I don't care what you are, if you're only selling to white people, you're losing. That's what it is, you know? If you don't have Hispanic audiences, if you don't have black audiences, if you don't have Asian audiences, then you're losing. Advertisers want everybody. So diversity is winning.
Did you try to go to network television previously, and it was a lot more difficult, and now you went and they're like, come on, we need stuff.
You know what? I didn't. This is my first year in television. So it's crazy because even in my first year, I sold two shows. So that's like, that's huge. Like, my team is amazing.
But
just to answer your question, it was like that, though. Definitely. There are people. This is my first foray into television. But there are people that tell you they've been banging on that TV door for years. Mm-hmm. People of color that have been trying to get in network TV. And the reality is that there weren't not a lot of shows. You had like an era in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, where you had a lot of black shows. And you had CW and UPN that had first came out. Mm-hmm. But for a while, it was a drought. And there were a lot of studies and people complaining about it because it was just so white, primarily white men, and that's what you saw.
Then reality television came along.
Reality came in, and that's what they
showed the worst of all.
They allowed the ratchetness to get in there, you know what I'm saying? And that's, you know, that's part of it, too. We got to show it off.
I want to go back to the beginning. How did you start in the game and getting into everything that you're doing? Because there's a lot of kids out there that going to college, going to community college, going to whatever college. And how did they get their start? How did you get your start?
I was in college, right? And I was majoring in engineering. Mm-hmm. I did not want to be an engineer. A lot of people can feel me on this right now. I was in a major I didn't want to do. It wasn't my passion. But like I said, I was going hard. I have an engineering degree. I graduated magna cum laude. Like, I did put the time in, put the work in. And while I was there, I met a cat from Philly, Rob Hardy, and he wanted to be the next John Singleton or Spike Lee. Right. He was like, I want to be a director. And I helped him to make his first movie while we were still college students. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what we didn't know. We thought, oh, you make a movie, you send to Hollywood, and that's it. Well, we sent to Hollywood, and Hollywood was like, don't send this trash no more.
Right.
So, but that was what started the hustle. And from that little movie, we went out and we independently distributed it. And we hustled our way in the theaters and said, please show our little movie. And so the first one was called Chocolate City, and the next one was called Trois. And after that,
you wanted to do porn originally.
If the money is right. No, not, just kidding, Mom. You know what? From the Twas, I actually did a movie called A Gospel, which was a faith-based movie, just to show we could have a little range, and then Stomp the Yard was the one that took it over the top.
I feel like your films are more diverse than, say, like a Tyler Perry. Is that by design?
Definitely. I mean, you know, look, I love Tyler does what he does. We're different filmmakers. I think that what I've always tried to do is tell stories that aren't necessarily black or aren't necessarily about any particular ethnicity or culture, but then put black people in them.
Right, like Uncle Buck, like the TV.
Like Uncle Buck, you know? Or even like thing like, man, if you look, that could be like
a white cast.
Five white cats. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, really. Like any of my movies, I mean, Takers, you know, originally was like all white. Mm-hmm. We like put, you know what I'm saying, Driss and Tip in it, you know? So for me, I love the idea of a universal story and then putting flavor in it.
Okay. Because
even with the NBC show, it seems like you're trying to show that black and white people have more in common and we may think.
Yeah, the NBC show, you know what? It goes there because I think that right now on like social media, people are having like real conversations that they would never have before. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go on and you can tweet somebody that lives in Iowa that you would never meet and give them your perspective on something and they can give you theirs and y'all are having an interaction. And sometimes it's really raw, right? Sometimes it's like, you know, just real going there. And other times it's, you know, more polite. Whatever right. it is, though, there are conversations that are being had out there in the world. You can go look on your timeline right now. There's people saying all kinds of crazy stuff.
Absolutely.
And all kinds of intelligent stuff and everything in between. So there's nothing like that on TV. There's nothing like that on TV that's having the real conversation. You know, like in one scene in that new show, people are talking. The white dude is so proud because he finally learned all the lyrics to Empire State of Mind. And all he wants to do is impress his black friend because they got tickets to the Jay-Z concert, right? And so they're on their way, and he's playing it, and he's rapping, and he's so proud of it, and he gets to the part where Jay says the N-word. Yeah. And the black dude's like, whoa, what you doing, man? He's like, nah, I was just going to rap it. I wasn't going, you should hear me say, like, I don't say the ER, I can do the A, like, I've been practicing my inflection. He's like, dude, you can't. He's like, well, can I hum it? Can I? He's like, nah, dude, you got to sing the Alicia Keys part. You can't say it on any. And he's like, well, it's a rapper, it's a song. Why can't I? Like, it goes there. It does that kind of
conversation.
Stuff. Why not?
And you say white guy, like, that's not Zach from Saved by the Bell.
It's Zach from Saved by the Bell, y'all. Mark Paul Gosselaar. I got Zach. You believe that? I got classic cats in my joints, man.
And you got the Uncle Buck coming with Neil Long and Mike Epps.
And Mike Epps,
they know him for doing movies. How'd you convince them to do TV?
You know what? It's good content. And TV now is like, because there's such good content on TV, you can get movie stars, which is what they are. That's right. Look, Taraji's a movie star.
Absolutely.
Neil Long's a movie star. Epps, movie star. But there's good content on TV, and it's giving them opportunities. So for me, who wants to do both, it's a great time because I can work with some of these like A-list top actors and bring them to my content, whether it's big screen or small screen.
How important is it for you to use your platform to teach?
It's really important. It's interesting because, you know, I try to do it and not let people know because if you walk in the door like, all right, I'm a teacher, everybody sit down, and they, you know, and nobody paying attention. Nobody want to hear that.
But you're
you know?
On a panel coming up, right? Aren't you? You do all these panels and stuff.
I do public speaking panels. I just did the commencement at my alma mater, FAMU. I'm proud of that. I do a lot of that, absolutely. But to your point, Charlamagne, I try to, within the content, within the entertainment, you know, I try to have stuff in there that can elevate us. You know what I mean? It can take us and push us to the next level. Because that's who I am at the end of the day. You know, like, I'm a smart black dude, and I'm proud of it.
And you have your own day, Will Packer Day.
That's like, I think it's in like Chattanooga, Tennessee. I think it sounds bigger than it is. No disrespect to Chat Town, but you know, it ain't like Barack ordained it or nothing. But yeah, it was a slow day in Chattanooga.
That's huge, though.
I think for a lot of them, gave me one. Yeah.
You're like the only Buccaneer fan I know in the world.
Yo, serious business. It's me. That's it. Yo, we got Jameis now. What? Say something. Jameis.
That ain't nothing to brag about.
Yeah, we'll see.
To be stealing crab legs
we'll
at the grocery store.
I know.
In Tampa.
I can't. I gotta wait. Tampa fans, we cautiously. You know, after the draft, everybody is a Super Bowl winner. Every team has got a chance.
Absolutely.
It's Cleveland Brown fans, like, all this the year. You know what I'm saying? So I can't say nothing. But we do have a Super Bowl, though. We got ours.
I got four, five. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Yeah, I know. I live with a Dallas Cowboy fan. My fiance is that. Here's the thing about y'all. Like,
y'all's
history is so far back. Like, I'm at least mine is current. You going back to like the Paleolithic era. I just made
90s.
Up a word. Y'all was back, man.
We was the 90s.
Y'all was way, way back.
How does that work? A Tampa fan and a Dallas fan.
Yo,
that's
ugly.
A house divided.
It get ugly. It's a house divided, y'all. And she's serious about it. You go on my Instagram, you see, like, I got a little like sports thing in my crib. Yeah. I got a Dallas Cowboy corner.
Must be some fun bets going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She swears if the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, she's getting a star tattoo. I'm like, not with me.
Daddy got three of them.
Are you serious?
Three
the Dallas Cowboys
Cowboy
star?
Stars. Absolutely.
She should make you get one if they win.
No,
that's a bet. That's a bet.
I'll be back on this show. Y'all be like, yo, what happened to her? I don't know. I think she's, I hope she's good. Good luck to her.
We appreciate you joining
yo,
us.
Yo, fam, this is awesome. I appreciate y'all letting me come on. Let me just kick a little knowledge, you know what I'm saying? And I love what y'all are doing.
Thank you. And what's next? What's in the immediate future?
Straight out of Compton, August 14th. Ride Along 2, January. This Friday, 8:30, people are talking on NBC. Check that joint out.
This Friday?
Yeah.
This
it looks
fall,
hilarious.
This fall on Fridays at 8:30. Oh, okay. And it's going
to
be
can't
funny.
Can't wait to see that.
Yeah, that one's coming out. And then Uncle Buck's coming out at the top of the year. That's a mid-season show.
Roots.
Roots is coming out next Memorial Day. We keep it popping, yo.
Whenever you need a radio show for your movies and TV shows, you can always just come film us. Because, you know,
absolutely.
Tyler used to always throw like Tom joint in.
Yo,
you know,
I love that idea. Yeah. Y'all playing. I think that'd be great.
I think it'd be great.
Absolutely. Yeah. There we go.
I agree.
I love it.
And we'll do it for
free. We got to do something different, though. We need y'all like.
We'll do it for
here
free.
We go. Wait, Envy, why you look like that?
We do it for free.
I don't think you talk to your folks about it. They look a little crazy, man. I don't know.
Come on now. We negotiate that.
I don't think there was a vote taken on that. You know?
How much did you get for Ride Along?
I did it for free.
You did. There you go. That's what
but when you have a line, don't you have to get paid once you have a line or something?
You do. Yeah. You do. That people will do that. That's the extra trick. Like if you're extra and you say something, if they film it, they gotta pay you. That's the thing.
That's why you told me to be so quiet.
But absolutely, because I would have to pay you.
We're gonna have a silent radio show.
Now we would love to. Whatever you need.
I love it, man. Appreciate y'all, fam. No doubt.
The Breakfast Club is Will Packer.